In our gospel reading from John, Jesus says the following: "Whoever wants to serve me must follow me, so that my servant will be where I am, and my Father will honor anyone who serves me." Whoever wants to serve me must follow me, so that my servant will be where I am. Just where is it that Jesus is going? The cross. Whoever wants to serve me must follow me, so that my servant will be where I am. Following Jesus takes on a whole range of new meaning when we really start getting down to it. Jesus was going to the cross. He knew it when he said these words. He'd shared that with the disciples, and they were still in denial. But before we get too excited about following Jesus during this Lenten season, we should take a moment for some sober reflection. Was Jesus really asking his followers, those early disciples, was he really asking us to follow him onto the cross? The early members of the Christian church certainly thought as much. But is Jesus really calling us to martyrdom? Is that the only way that God will honor us? By following Christ all the way to the cross? John Calvin writes that death may not be exceedingly bitter and disagreeable to us. Christ invites us by his example to submit to it cheerfully. He leads the way to us to suffer death. The bitterness of death is therefore mitigated and is in some measure rendered agreeable when we have in common with the Son of God the condition of submitting to it. Submitting to death in the knowledge that we share with Jesus that same submission. Perhaps when we sit down and we think about it in a very cerebral way, remember that John Calvin was trained as a lawyer. Not a knock against lawyers, but John Calvin was trained as a lawyer. He had a legalistic mind. Perhaps when we think about it in a very cerebral way, this statement is comforting. But let's be honest here. Thoughts of death trouble us. So friends, what exactly is going on here? The cross as we see it today is very different from how it was viewed when Jesus walked the earth. In those days, the cross was a tool for torture. People were put to death on the cross. We should not think that the crucifixion of Jesus was a singular event. We know better because there were two thieves hanging at either side of him. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, writes, "But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles." The cross was not a symbol which was held in high regard. Even to earlier Christians who were being crucified, it was not a symbol of hope. Rather, it was a symbol of pain and death that they might endure for being a believer of Jesus Christ. It's only later in history that the cross comes to be viewed as a symbol of hope. That hope that we have in the resurrection. To us in the Reformed tradition, we have the empty cross, symbolizing that Christ overcame death and rose again. That Jesus Christ is indeed the risen Lord. However, this knowledge does not cause our unease with this passage to be put aside. Christ is calling us to join him in death, to follow him, to be like him. So let's think about that. Let's put that into context. Though we certainly understand that life here on earth is temporary or transitory, as we understand that we, through our faith in Christ, will be welcomed into heaven. But even with all that knowledge, it doesn't mean that we're in a rush. If we were, what would be the point of the Great Commission? Or of the Great Commandment to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself? If Jesus just expected all of his followers, all those who heard the message, to jump on the cross with him, then his sacrifice would have meant little, and his teachings even less. Jesus knew that he was going to die, that he had to die to fulfill God's plan for all people. So when Jesus asks us to follow him, to be like him, what is he really asking us to do? Perhaps not that we die a literal death. But as Christ's sacrifice, we too are also being asked to sacrifice. We're being asked to serve others. That we love others, even when we don't want to. If you and I are willing to give things up, to remain faithful to the call that Jesus places in each of our lives to love one another, not just for our own sakes, not just for the sake of the world, but for Christ, can we do it for him? For he shows us a better way. And I believe that that is what Jesus is talking about when he says, "Whoever wants to serve me must follow me, so that my servant will be where I am, and my Father will honor anyone who serves me." Not that we join him on the cross, but that we serve him. And if we take a look at that statement, we can see that it's balanced. Whoever wants to serve must follow. To serve Christ, we follow Christ. And then Jesus continues saying that my servant will be where I am. And yes, Christ is on a journey to the cross. And during this season of Lent, we reflect on that. It's only less than 2 short weeks, and we will be at the events of Good Friday. So we know Jesus was on that journey. But where was Jesus within the society that he lived? He was a servant to the people, a teacher, a healer. And this is where Jesus is also calling us to be. The subtle undercurrent of this passage is the cross, the recognition that not everyone is going to think so highly of what we Christians are doing. Jesus was countercultural, and that's lost on us today when we think that we live within a Christian society. For a long time, the Bible was a defining document on how the society that we live in reflected on itself. For a very long time, this book was how society reflected on itself. It's how it understood its governance and where it looked to for moral guidance. But that's not true anymore, is it? Once again, the Bible, being a follower of Christ, is countercultural. Now, I'll reckon that you didn't think you were going to find yourself as part of a revolutionary movement when you woke up this morning. But what Christ calls us to is so contrary to anything that society holds of value. It's contrary to everything that society today views as acceptable or normal. And it's happening here in Coburg too. There's a proposal that's been made to city council about an area to have a community kitchen right on King Street, to have skills training right on King Street, to have a market environment for people who can't afford a full storefront. And the resistance it's receiving is that, well, we want to gentrify King Street. Think about that. That's happening here, down the street. The band U2 have a song entitled "Wake Up, Dead Man," which I think is helpful. The opening lines go like this, and this is a paraphrase, and if you look the words up, you'll understand why. They go like this: "Jesus, Jesus, help me. I'm alone in this world, and a messed up world it is too. Tell me the story, the one about eternity, and the way it's all gonna be. Wake up, dead man." If I have ever heard a prayer, that's it. How many of us believe that this world we live in is heading in the wrong direction and fast? How many of us long for eternity and the promise made manifest in Christ? And those final words of that verse, wake up, dead man. I don't believe that those are a plea for Christ to come back into this world. It's not Jesus or God that is being asked to wake up. I believe that when Bono wrote those lyrics, he was referring to himself. He was talking about you and me. He was referring to this world that we live in. The words are a prayer, a plea, a cry for help. Wake up and take a look at the world. Shake off your sinful nature. Shake off your selfish nature and do something about the state of things. The world is a mess. And we need to wake up to that. We need to do something about it, and it needs to be more than token gesture. It needs to be more than money on a plate. It needs to be tangible. It needs to affect people's lives. It needs to be transformative. And friends, nothing short of the power of Christ, the power He commands, is going to make a difference in this world. Christ shook up the world 2,000 years ago when He walked on it. And He called His disciples then, and He calls His disciples now. And He calls us to go to the places that He went. To go and heal the sick. To feed the hungry in this neighborhood and throughout the world. To care for our planet. To love all people at all times. Friends, yes, Christ came to die on the cross. That sacrifice was necessary to bring us back into relationship with God. And if we accept that sacrifice, we enjoy eternity with Christ in heaven. But before he died, Jesus let us know what his expectations for us were. We are the seeds that have resulted from Jesus' death. We carry on Christ's mission in the world until he comes again in all majesty and power. That is what he calls us to do. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Jesus was a servant. Jesus took action. Jesus calls us to serve him, so that we can follow him, so that we can be like him, so we can go where he went. Jesus calls us to be servants who take action. Amen.